Radio Daily for halfway day. And come on, my car is all wonky. We lost Carl Reiner. We need a weekend at this point, folks. I'm just saying, it's just
Yep.
All that I'm going to do. Either way, though, welcome. It's a time for refreshment and renewal. It is the 1st of July. Yeah, pretty much all of your 4th of July things are closed, so don't be stupid, all right? Stop shooting off bottle rockets in your neighborhood. There are pets that freak out. And, you know, there's vets that you don't want to turn into Rambo. I'm talking First Blood Rambo. You know, the really scary one. Hi, everyone. We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, and you know all of that stuff. The folks bringing it to you today, the man that takes time off when he wants because it's what he needs. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
It's yet another in a long series of diversions in an attempt to avoid responsibility.
I like it. I can get behind that philosophy. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
All you can do. What happened, brother?
In 1881, the first international telephone call is made between Calais, Maine, in the United States, and St. Stephen, New Brunswick, in Canada.
1886, the first linotype machine to be put into commercial use in the U.S. is installed at the Tribune newspaper in New York. One keyboard operator can cast a line of type at a time, doing the work of three men required to handset the type of other printing presses.
1890, 2,000 clerks begin processing the result of the 1890 U.S. Census using Herman Hollerith's mechanical tabulating machine. The 1880 census took nearly 8 years to tabulate, resulting in obsolete figures, because it took 8 years.
1908, SOS is adopted as the international distress signal. Before that, it was just, help!
1909, the third revision of U.S. copyright law goes into effect. In this revision, the term of statutory protection for a copyrighted work is now measured from the date of the publication of the work, rather than at the time of the creation of the work. Copyright can now be renewed for up to 28 years, twice the previous 14-year limit.
Disney said, yes, it begins. 1923, AT&T forms the first U.S. radio network by linking WEAF New York and WMAF in Boston, Massachusetts.
1934, the Communications Act of 1934 becomes law. Approved by President Roosevelt, this act brings interstate telephone business under the regulation of the FCC rather than the Interstate Commerce Commission.
Same day, same year, the first X-ray photograph of an entire body is taken in a one-second exposure using ordinary clinical conditions, such as would exist at an average hospital.
1956, Columbia Pictures releases a science fiction film, Earth versus the Flying Saucers, also known as Invasion of the Flying Saucers, to theaters.
1966, first color television transmission in Canada is broadcast from Toronto.
1967, BBC Two begins broadcasting the first color television transmissions in the UK from six main transmitters. Color programming is limited during this introductory phase and is initially dominated by coverage of the Wimbledon tennis tournaments.
1970, the first commercial offering of picture phone service is introduced in downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Picture. Pa, 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 pa.
That one really puts the old pop filter to work, doesn't it? 1972, the Sunday Cinema Act comes into effect in the UK, allowing cinemas.
1979, Sony introduces the Walkman in Japan, the first model, the blue and silver TPSL2 pocket-sized audio cassette player with earphones.
They were always forgetting to write the reports on those. 1983, Cinematronics releases Dragon's Lair to arcades. It is the first laser disc-based coin-operated arcade game. Cost per play is 50 cents. Advanced Microcomputer Systems designed the game with animation provided by Don Bluth Animations. Each machine costs around $5,500.
1984, the dystopian cyberpunk novel Neuromancer by William Gibson is published. It's the first book of the Sprawl trilogy. It will win the Triple Crown of Sci-Fi, the Hugo, the Nebula, and the Philip K. Dick Award.
Also, PG-13 rating is introduced by the Motion Picture Association of America. That's right, in 1984. Hadn't been around all that long. It was created to address the issue of the increasing number of films that straddle the PG and R rating.
Thanks, Gremlins and Temple of Doom. 1991, Apogee Software releases the side-scrolling shooter Duke Nukem for MS-DOS. Notable at the time because of its smart level design, which allows for very fast gameplay.
1998, Touchstone Pictures releases the science fiction film Armageddon, directed by Michael Bay and starring Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, and Liv Tyler.
2000, Cerulean Studios first releases Trillian, a proprietary multi-protocol instant messaging IM application. Trillian can connect to AIM, ICQ, IRC, Windows Live Messenger, Yahoo Messenger Networks. Oh my God, everything. And it'll write a blog for you on WordPress.
True, I miss Trillian. 2003, Blizzard Entertainment releases Warcraft III, The Frozen Throne. It's an expansion pack for Warcraft 3 Reign of Chaos. The upgrade includes an additional hero for each race and 2 to 3 new units per race, 4 new campaigns, a new neutral race, the Naga, 5 neutral heroes, and the ability to build a shop and various other improvements such as the ability to queue upgrades.
2009 TerraStar 1, the largest commercial telecommunications satellite ever built for a geosynchronous transfer orbit, is successfully launched. Birthdays?
Liv Tyler, 43, from Armageddon, Lord of the Rings, Incredible Hulk, Empire Records, that really cool Aerosmith video.
That's Claire Forlani is 49 from Mallrats, Mystery Men, Meet Joe Black, and The Rock.
Andre Brower, 58 years old. Homicide, Life on the Streets, Get on the Bus, Darkseid and Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, Thief, which you can watch now, and of course, love seeing him on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Dan Aykroyd is 68 years of age, an original Saturday Night Live member, the Blues Brothers, Ghostbusters, Driving Miss Daisy. He's going to be narrating a new travel show.
Has a very tasty vodka. Terrence Mann, 69, Oberon in Gargoyles, Dresden Files, Critters.
Debbie Harry is 75 years of age from Videodrome, Hairspray, and is the lead singer of Blondie. She is not Blondie.
Genevieve Bougeot, 78, from Coma, Monsignor, and Dead Ringers.
Jean Marsh is 86 years of age from Cleopatra, Changeling, Return to Oz, and Willow.
Jamie Farr is 86, Klinger on MASH, Cannonball Run, and I believe was one of the founders of the original Gong Show.
Ooh, Olivia de Havilland is 104 years of age from The Adventures of Robin Hood, Gone with the Wind, and Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
We're in this day no longer with us. 1899, Charles Laughton from the 1935 Les Miserables, Mutiny on the Bounty, The 39 Hunchback of Notre Dame.
1903, Amy Johnson, first female pilot to fly alone from Britain to Australia, setting numerous long-distance records during the 1930s.
1925, Farley Granger from Rope and Strangers on a Plane.
1934, Sidney Pollack, 3 Days of the Condor, Tootsie, Michael Clayton.
1939, Karen Black from Five Easy Pieces, Trilogy of Terror and Invaders from Mars.
1947, Shirley Hemphill, What's Happening, One in a Million, and Sexy in CB4.
1957, Lisa Blount from Officer and a Gentleman, Radioactive Dreams, and Blind Fury.
That's a good movie right there, right there.
This one with Rutger Hauer, right?
Yep.
Ah, I love that movie. CBS, Becky Lynch and Joel McHale on Game On, SEAL Team, and SWAT.
ABC's got a rerun of The Goldbergs, rerun of American Housewife, rerun of Modern Family, rerun of Modern Family, but then after blowing their cover and damaging the Zephyr, Coulson must do what he does best to save the future on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
NBC reruns of the Chi Tribe. Man, they haven't had any new ones in a while.
Nope.
Chicago Med, Fire and Pids.
Not at all. Fox has got a new MasterChef. No, they don't. They got a rerun of MasterChef. But wait, they've got a new rerun of MasterChef on afterwards. Two? Oh. What? You've got other reruns you can show.
Shouldn't we call that like a second helping? CW, Octavia, Echo, and Dioza experience a difficult, frustrating time with new familial wounds as Imori attempts to heal Sanctum's old ones on the 100. Those are words. And a new bulletproof.
Freeform is showing the film that has the role Reese Witherspoon was born to play, Sweet Home Alabama.
It's true. AMC has Major League.
FX will be showing that film, Blockers, that you really need to see the picture for so you understand the joke, Blockers, they're going for.
Oh, Chicken Blockers.
Yeah.
FXX has Annihilation.
Who's going to block Nuggets? FXM, Fantastic Four, yeah, that one.
IFC still has their Parks and Rec Marathon.
BBC America, Zombieland.
Paramount has Coming to America.
Sci-Fi Channel, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
CBS is Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT is showing The Longest Yard, but it's the Adam Sandler one, so, you know, whatever.
On USA, because there's wrestlers in The Longest Yard as well.
That works for me. But tonight we're watching Lifetime Movie Network. After getting into a wreck on a desolated road, a 17-year-old girl is rescued by a pair of EMTs, only to realize her rescuers have an ulterior motive in mind when they take her back to their home, where their mother wants a replacement daughter. Kathy Moriarty and Alex Ann Hopkins star Into the Arms of Danger!
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. As the pledges prepare for their first social event with the girls from their sister's sorority, Chad goes to Father Eric for advice on how to get his life back on track after these first chaotic 3 weeks of college.
Will gets in touch with his animal side, and the fraternity may have to endure an extremely strict faculty advisor, unless they can convince Professor Abe to take the job. They would love if Abe had no activity. He just might get them schooled. I mean, that's what a smooth ladies man would do. Hashtag chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Hey, geeks. Darned autocorrect. Sometimes I don't see what it does. I have never been embarrassed by your drunk astronaut endorsement recorded clip. I've always been entertained by it. And I neglect alcohol. I have one dusty partial bottle of cheap wine that amazingly has not turned to vinegar. Bought it years ago. I got a glass instead of a baby aspirin on the 2 days before donating blood platelets, and I have to remember to lay off any aspirin. But because of my ADD, I hardly remember to take the wine instead. So I have no idea what vodka I'd mix with Tang. I love Tang, though I like treating it as cheaper pixie stick powder and chasing it with water. It's a good plan. But I think any good vodka deserves actual OJ, and Tang deserves more than bad vodka. I'd rather eat potatoes anyway than drink them. Hey, I love the here's a pod, there a pod, everywhere a sour pod old McDonald joke, and Rich's no yolks about it. So many puns. Thank you. Happy to drop you a note with the doctor's machine that goes ding. Stay safe, everyone. That is from Bill. Well, you're quite welcome, Bill, though I'm still not sure I understand what the embarrassed drunk astronaut actually means, because astronauts don't get drunk. They're in space. It works totally different up there. We can have folks tell you all about it. Those of you that know, scientists, please drop us a note, won't you? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or tell us all about it. Text us all about it. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
And we know that there are scientists out there, because only the smartest people listen to Geek Daily Radio.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Steven.
And I'm Ron.
And we're the hosts of the Super Retro Throwback Reviews audio podcast.
If you like to hear the latest pop culture news with some smart-ass commentary as well as the latest movie reviews, then check us out.
Also, we're a multi-award nominated podcast, so we're doing something right.
God knows how that happened.
So check us out on all major podcasts and distributors, and check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on all social media platforms.
Hey guys, this is Claire Kramer from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And I would say you're watching it, but only if you're looking at your screen for some strange reason.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Yeah, and books are, for the most part, sort of kind of back, kind of, except for where they're not. What's out, sir?
Nope, they're not looking at my screen. from DC Comics, we've got Batman Arkham Asylum, TP. We got Crisis on Infinite Earths, Paragons Rising Deluxe Edition, HC, Red Hood Outlaw Volume 3, Generation Outlaw. And since being cut loose by Batman, Dick Grayson is Robin no more. Unsure of what to do and where to turn, he seeks solace from familiar sources, including Superman, Batgirl, and Deadman. Unable to avoid fighting crime, Grayson begins a new odyssey, donning a new uniform and getting a new heroic identity in Nightwing Year One.
Yeah, there's nobody, the main two don't have issues this week. It's so weird. Marvel, Timely's Greatest, The Golden Age Submariner by Bill Everett, the Post-Year Wars Omnibus hardcover. What If, the Classic Collection, Volume 4, Young Avengers, the Complete Collections trade paperback. And When a Portal Opens Between Otherworld and Krakoa, Magic and Science Collide Violently. And Betsy Braddock finds herself transformed into the new Captain Britain. She's joined by allies Rogue, Gambit, Jubilee, Richter, and Apocalypse? But whose side will they take in the Otherworld War? As the new Captain faces the truth about her brother, she must choose her path forward, even as an MI-13 and agents of the British Crown learn of her ascension. Meanwhile, Rogue faces an uncertain fate. While she sleeps, she dreams. In Saban, Nerd performs a ritual, and the Throne of Power changes hands, but to whom? And what will happen to the rise of mutant kind when they confront the reign of Morgan Le Fay? It's Excalibur by Teeny Howard, Volume 1.
From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Death to the Army of Darkness, Number 3. Killing Red Sonja, Number 2. Kiss Zombies, Number 5. Rather smooch a vampire, personally. From Boom Studios, we got Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Number 15. King of Nowhere, 3 of 5. Ronin Island, Number 12. And presenting a classic Irish myth through a new lens as a young boy stumbles across a banshee in the woods. Legend says that if she sees you, you will be marked for death. But if you can capture her, you will receive a wish. The young boy is about to learn to be careful what you wish for. In Jim Henson's Storyteller Ghosts, 3 of 4.
Over at IDW Publishing, Ghostbusters wraps up its year one with its fourth issue. I Can Sell You a Body wraps up its 4. And Star Trek Year 5 is at number 12. But over at American Mythology Productions, Hollywood's 306 Best Actress is Scream Queen Sonya Devereaux, whose career consists entirely of ultra-low-budget straight-to-DVD horror movies, the kind you find in the bargain bin at the grocery store or playing at 2 a.m. on cable TV. This time, 30 hilarious pages of horror sci-fi action parody filled with ridiculous monsters, beautiful babes, and outrageous comedy. When an archaeologist goes missing in Africa while investigating the myth of an ancient creature, Dr. Haley Lord is released from a government psychiatric ward to lead a ragtag team of operatives into the jungle to find her. Starring Sonya Devereaux, it's Spider Shark versus Snake Bear.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. I really want that comic to be a show. With all of the star power behind it and millions of dollars sunk into it, why isn't Quibi a success?
Because quick bites are meaningless in an all-binging world.
Quibi has announced a new scripted murder mystery series produced by the people ready to make Quibi matter. Blumhouse Television! The show is created and penned by Anthony Horowitz, best known for the best-selling author of the Alex Rider Teen Spy series, and for the British TV film Stuff Horowitz that you've heard of. But anyway, executive producer, showrunner for the series, currently going under the working title, Nine Bodies in a Mexican Morgue.
Finally, we're getting a sequel to Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag.
Not exactly. No, in this, a small plane crashes into the Mexican jungle. Nine complete strangers find themselves lost and alone in 500 square miles of rainforest. One by one, they're targeted. They know that there's a murder among them, but who is it, and why do they have to die?
Ooh, is it secretly a Predator show?
I mean, that seems like the kind of series that Quibi would pick up. You've got a tightly plotted thriller, high stakes, and a fixed time limit, a format used in shows like the Liam Hemsworth Most Dangerous Game, Sophie Turner Survive, storytelling that does lend itself to a 7 to 10 minute episode for mobile platforms, but it may not be enough to save the streaming platform from tanking, even with a Blumhouse buzz.
Blumhouse saves a TV network. Wow. This is a fantasy island.
Blumhouse could make them go viral or make them split. As for us, we will simply get out.
If you don't get those jokes, IMDb them. While the future of the Harry Potter franchise on the big screen is currently on hold due to the coronavirus pandemic, the fan-favorite Fantasy World may be coming to next-gen video game consoles as early as 2021.
If that was a cheering charm, it didn't work.
Warner Media's video game subsidiary studios Warner Brother Interactive and Avalanche Software are currently developing an open-world title that will have players explore Hogwarts and the surrounding area of the iconic magical school. The project itself remains currently unconfirmed by Warner Media.
At least until they can find a tranquilizer for J.K. Rowling.
Details on the video game are also under wraps, including whether this game will take place during or after the main novel, film series, or during the prequel timeline started by Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The report claims that the video game is being developed for both the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, to be released in late 2021. An official announcement on the planned title is expected to take place later this year.
Something that will be Revelio!
In light of recent transphobic comments made by franchise creator J.K. Rowling, sources indicate that the author has minimal involvement in the video game's development.
That better be an unbreakable vow.
Well, yes. Anything else would be ridiculous.
Virtual reality headsets are rather large, and you know, Facebook has shown some prototypes of bigger and even more complex Oculus VR headsets, but they've made no secret in its interest of creating lightweight models that can be worn all day long. And now, they've revealed a holographic optical architecture designer for thinner, lighter VR headsets, which it expects will appear in future high-performance AR-VR devices.
Well, I mean, the future's so bright. It got it with shades.
They do look like 80 shades. In a 2020 research paper titled Holographic Optics for Thin and Lightweight Virtual Reality, this system uses flat films to create a VR display only slightly thicker than today's typical smartphones. Facebook's pancake optics design combines several thin layers of holographic film with a laser projection system and directional backlights, delivering flat imagery or volumetric holograms depending on the sophistication of the design. How many color lighting and alignment enhancing components to a prototype contains, the thickness of the optical system can be 11 millimeters down to 9 millimeters.
Sorry, somebody said pancakes.
In a wearable prototype form, each eye display features a resolution of roughly 1200 by 1600 pixels, comparable to current VR goggles, with a field of view that's either a 93 degree circle or 92 by 69 degree rectangle. That's roughly comparable to the display specs of a 571 gram Oculus Quest, but in glasses that are like 10 grams, though in fairness, with only a single eye display in the prototypes. for Scott Summers. The researchers note they could cut parts and change materials to achieve a 6.6 gram weight equivalent to plastic aviator sunglasses, but would compromise performance by doing so.
And yet, still managed to look like cheap sunglasses.
In addition to developing a more performant custom despeckler, the researchers say they could deliver a wearable full-color prototype by adding either holographic backlight or lens, but need more engineering work to get to that point.
I hear they also need to determine if you can have these shades on in the evenings, because I got to keep track of the visions in my eyes.
They also have to figure out why people who wear them see different words on signs like conform, obey, and MySpace sucks.
Back in January, IDW Publishing announced it was creating a library of graphic novels based on the Smithsonian Institution's holdings in science, art, history, and culture. Now the publisher has revealed two of these projects.
A National Treasure coloring book series?
No, they're actually covering two specific projects, Airplanes, a Smithsonian's coloring book, and Dinosaurs, a Smithsonian coloring book.
God, I can't wait for other Smithsonian coloring books like, you know, the floating bathtub, giant sloth dung, and pickled woolly mammoth flesh.
These books are designed to provide fascinating coloring experiences for readers. The pages stand alone as works of art, and the book also contains insight into the National Air and Space Museum's aeronautics experts and the paleontology experts from the National Museum of National History.
And will one day be featured heavily in the Smithsonian Refrigerators Through History exhibit.
Coloring books are a unique format that allows for exciting artistic exploration of any topic, said editor Justin Isinger. Pairing artists with experts from the Smithsonian's museums allows us to create rich, immersive art for readers of all ages, not only to color, but also to learn about a variety of subjects.
Sounds cool, but I can't help feeling this is just like a tool for something else.
Nonsense! They're just doing something good for the youth of America. On an unrelated note, Ben Stiller has a new animated series coming, Night in the Museum's Coloring Book.
Now in news we've been waiting for since March, Universal Studios Japan is delaying the opening of its new Super Nintendo World indefinitely. The new land, which has been in the works for years, was originally going to open next month, but the ongoing coronavirus pandemic has seemingly put these plans on hold.
Woohoo! Just what I needed!
The initial plans were to have the park open in time for the Tokyo Olympics, which was supposed to kick off July 24th, but, you know, in March, they pushed that back to next summer, removing some of the urgency of the new land to open in that window. Construction of Super Nintendo World, including the architecture and restaurants, cost about $560 million and is almost complete. But Universal Studios Japan knows that the land, the first theme park to heavily feature popular characters like Mario and Yoshi, is going to have a bunch of people showing up. And since Japan handled the pandemic far better than the U.S. has, look it up, facts, science and common sense is winning out over economics.
They took the advice of noted expert me, Dr. Mario.
The park will feature a Mario Kart ride, wearable tech, augmented reality binoculars, and more.
Can I get my own tanuki suit? Or maybe a cat suit?
The company doesn't have a potential timetable in place yet for the opening of Super Nintendo World, and the new land is also supposed to be coming to parks at Universal's Epic Universe in Orlando, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Singapore, but no firm timetables are in place for those openings, and we have to imagine the pandemic will also result in delays to the company's early plans for them. When asked his thoughts about the extended delay, a noted Nintendo spokesperson said, GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative work, United States 3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And later today, Timothy, are you listening? Later today, there will be a note on the GRD Facebook page and the group page, because you should be on both, because someone told me that groups are better than pages, but you tell me. And we'll tell you all about it, because Mark is hosting some Jackbox tonight, and he'll be streaming. And that'll be right after a certain person does a stream. I don't know who that person is, but I'm sure they're loud and they'll say it all. Mario? Mario's having it? That's
just insane. No, Richie Munster.
Oh, okay. I understand now. So come join us, all that fun stuff. And drop us a note at podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, you know, the digits.
510-GRD.
And we'll catch you.
Good night, suckers.
And that's the end.
Freeze!
Captain! Captain!
He's not getting away! He took my dog!
Oh my God! It's happening!
Oh, I see you have a knife. But what you need is an umbrella.
Tell him why. Tell him why!
Because there's a storm gonna rain down on you, punk! He's done. Cuff him.
Yes, sir. That was the single coolest thing that has ever happened.
Relax, Peralta. That wasn't even the coolest thing I've ever done.
What have you done that's cooler?
It was the 80s. It was nothing. I mean, they made a movie out of it, but whatever.
What? What movie?
I don't remember the title. There was a crime on a plane. I was a passenger.
Was that Passenger 57?
I honestly don't know.
It had to have been. Just say it was that.
You know, Peralta, sometimes I don't understand the words coming out of your mouth.
Oh, my God. Was it Rush Hour?
What? No. You know what? I'm too old for this crap.
It was Lethal Weapon?